Congregation, if you are a Christian this morning, then God is at work in your life. God is at work in your life to move you away from an old manner of life and into a new manner of life. The old you, the selfish you, is in a process of disappearing. And the new you, the Christ-loving you, is in the process of becoming more and more visible. And one word we use to describe this process is the word sanctification. That means to be growing more like Jesus. To be growing more like Jesus in our attitudes, in our thoughts, in our actions. And there is perhaps no greater battleground for us than in the way in which we use words. The way in which we use words, the words that come out of our mouths, is either going to help us move down the path of sanctification, or it's going to hinder us becoming more like Jesus. But it goes further than that. Because we live in a world of people, holiness, you see, isn't just something mystical that we can experience just between us and God. As someone has said, you can't be good in a vacuum, only in a real world of people. And so growing more like Jesus in the way that we use words has everything to do with other people. Unless, of course, you only ever speak to yourself. We have a special word for people who only ever speak to themselves. Or perhaps you speak to others, but nobody ever listens to you. If nobody ever listens to you, then the words that you speak don't really matter. But no, we speak to one another, and our words either help us or hinder us becoming more like Jesus. Our words either help or hinder other people in that journey. So we read from James 3 before in our Ministry of Reconciliation this morning and in our sermon last week. Despite its small size, our tongues are, as James described them, a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body, a restless evil full of deadly poison. And the taming of the tongue is and will be one of our greatest battles. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. And what that means, brothers and sisters, is that this morning, each of us should be willing and eager to pay attention to God's word so that we might grow. This isn't a sermon about marriage, where only those who are married may find it helpful. This isn't a sermon about how children might obey their parents, which only the children might find helpful. This is a sermon about the way we use our tongues. And that's immediately relevant and helpful to each of us. How do you use words? How ought you to use words? These are the questions that we'll consider this morning as we consider the two verses in Ephesians 4 that are our text this morning. And the first verse, verse 25, has this message for us. God calls us to speak truthfully. God calls us to speak truthfully. There's a negative, something not to do, and then a positive, something to take its place. First of all, the negative. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood. It's expressed in a way similar to the way the ninth commandment is expressed, isn't it? The summary commandment that has to do with the use of our tongues. It's expressed in terms of what we shouldn't do. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. The word that Paul uses here for falsehood is the word pseudos, from which we get our English word pseudo. Pseudo, what's false, what's pretender, just like our word in English, a pseudonym. That is a false name taken by an author who doesn't want to write under their own names. They take an adopted name, a false name. And God tells us this morning that we should put off this falsehood and these lies. Avoiding lies has always been important for God's people. And one of the reasons for that is because our God is a truth-telling God. Numbers 23, verse 19 tells us, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And so fundamentally, we are to avoid falsehood because our God avoids falsehood. Our God is a truthful God, a God who doesn't say one thing but means another. God doesn't deceive. God doesn't make a promise and fail to carry through on it. Our God is dependable. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. God has integrity in his speech. We are called as God's people to be imitators of him. Of course, there are straightforward lies which we are to avoid. They are clear falsehoods. But there are also more subtle ways, aren't there, in which we can find ourselves caught up in falsehood. Perhaps the most common expression of falsehood in our lives is through exaggeration. We talk ourselves up more than we should, or we talk others down. We make our lives seem better than they really are, seem more than they really are. So we might be selective, for example, about what we post about ourselves on Facebook. We want to give a good impression. We want to sound a little bit better than perhaps we really are. We want our performances and the things we have done to be a little bit more admired, perhaps, than they ought. Or the other person to look a little bit more ridiculous. But when we do any of these sorts of things in our lives, with our speech, what we do is we distort reality. We wallpaper over the truth. Lies and falsehoods, they are a part of our old way of life. It's like they're a particularly nasty set of clothes. Imagine a set of clothes with colours that just completely clash with one another. These are colours that should not belong together. And it's like Paul saying to us this morning, we're not to live in that old set of clothes any longer. We're to put them off. We're to burn them. We're to find a new set of clothes, a beautiful set of clothes. And finding new clothes to wear, new clothes to put on, is the second part of what Paul says to us this morning. It's not enough to put off the negative, to put off lies and falsehood. Something needs to take their place. Here are our new clothes this morning. Each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. The new clothes of speaking beautifully, speaking truthfully, are more beautiful than at first they might appear. For I believe the allusion that Paul's making is back to Zechariah 8 as we read it before. There, God making promises about the coming of a new Jerusalem, a city that will be called, did you catch it, the city of truth. And it will be called the city of truth because God will be dwelling there. It'll be a gathered community of all God's people from east and west, a people who will be characterized, their lives will be characterized by truth and righteousness and holiness. And what's the very first instruction God gives to his new community of people? These are the things you are to do. Speak the truth to each other. What that means is that Paul isn't just giving us a nice command, a new set of clothes. What he's telling us this morning, what he's telling us is that we, the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ, we have inherited a new set of clothes prepared by God and promised a long time ago. We are pictured here as the New Jerusalem, the place where God dwells with his people. We are the people whose lives are to be characterized by truth and righteousness and holiness. And so our neighbor in this city, our fellow member of the body, fellow member of the new community, can expect to be dealt with truthfully. Speak the truth to your neighbor. That also helps us understand the reason that Paul gives in Ephesians for this command. He says we're to speak truthfully to everyone, is to speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Indeed we are. We are members of the New Jerusalem. We are a part of the community of the faithful, the people amongst whom God dwells. We are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we are in Jesus. And the members or the parts of a healthy body speak truthfully to one another. Imagine if your eye didn't tell your foot, didn't speak truthfully to your foot when it saw danger up ahead. Just let your feet keep on walking. Imagine if your eye didn't speak truthfully to your feet. Or imagine that your nerves never spoke truthfully to your brain when you put your hand in the fire or on the hot stove. Imagine if your nerves never spoke truthfully to your brain, then your brain wouldn't tell your hand. You'd get burned, wouldn't you? A body that has parts of the body that don't speak to one another, a body like that gets ruined. A body like that self-destructs. So what God tells us this morning is that he calls us to speak truthfully to one another. And if, in obedience to God, we want to seek to develop a community of faith, a church where we can depend on one another, then we must seek to develop a community which has truth as its foundation. A church where people can be trusted and relied on for help. Friends, if that trust is lost in a church, then it can be very difficult to recover. So let us strive to put on this new set of clothes that God has given us, to speak truthfully to our neighbor, to our fellow body member, that we may be the new community that Zechariah's vision imagines. We might be the city of truth, the living God, the God of truth, dwelling amongst us. God calls us to speak truthfully. Then the second verse of our text, in verse 29, has a second message for us. God calls us not only to speak truthfully, but also, balanced by that, God calls us to speak helpfully. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Again, we have, I think, an old set of clothes pictured and a new set of clothes. An old set of clothes, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And a new set of clothes, only what is helpful in building others up according to their needs. What do these things look like, though? Well, the word that Paul uses for unwholesome talk is a word that describes spoiled fish, rotten fruit, stones, big building stones that crumble away and deteriorate. Paul has in mind vulgar language, rude joking, slander. He has in mind biting criticism and destructive speech. Words which may even be true, and yet still be wrong, for we are called to speak the truth in love. And why shouldn't these sorts of words be part of our vocabulary? Well, for a start, congregation, if they are a picture of the dirty, rotting clothes that we used to wear before we knew Christ, and then what a disconnect between who we are in Christ, having been forgiven and made new and renewed, and these old clothes that we used to wear. And more than that, though, our speech begins to shape us. It shapes our identity. If we still speak as though we were living in the world, living in the old way of life, then our hearts are being drawn away from Christ. We injure, we put an obstacle in the way of our witness to the world. We lose some of the best opportunities that we have to bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the gospel. But perhaps even more importantly, such speaking is destructive, Paul tells us. And wholesome talk are words that destroy community, words that destroy churches. Unity and peace can always be a very, very fragile thing in a church. And if we are not careful with our words, then we can very quickly destroy work that others have spent years trying to build up. Our words can be that tiny spark, which as James says, one tiny spark which can set a whole forest ablaze. God has a different goal. God has a different goal for our words and for our speaking. As Paul describes it, what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That theme of building, if you have your Bibles open, brings us back in chapter 2 to Ephesians 2 and verse 21. Speaking, it says there, Paul writes there, in Jesus the whole building is joined together and rises up to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to be a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Think back again to Zechariah chapter 8. God is constructing us into a city. Not just into a city, though, not just into the New Jerusalem, but into a temple. God's constructing us into a living temple where we are the living stones. We are the stones together. It's not that you're building your temple and I'm over here building mine and somebody else is in a third place building their temple. No, God is building us. He's building us into a temple, into one temple. And that's why our words are so important. Because what God's doing here is telling us that our words contribute to the temple building project. Our unwholesome words are like words that rot the stone. They are destructive words. They cause cracks. They cause erosion. They cause strains. They threaten to bring whole sections of the temple that we're working on, that we're being constructed into, threaten to bring them coming crashing down to the ground in rubble. Brothers and sisters, there are also words that build the temple, words that lay a good foundation, words that mend the cracks, words that repair the weak spots, words that give strength, reinforcing to the structure that's being built. What sort of words are building words? The NIV puts it as words that benefit others, that build them up according to benefit those who listen, the very end there. Literally, what Paul says, and perhaps more helpfully this morning, Paul speaks of words that give grace to those who hear. Words that give grace, benefit others, but words that give grace to those who hear. What sort of words are those? What sort of words are like that? What sort of words give grace to other people as they listen? Words give grace when they encourage another person to faith and growth in Jesus. Words give grace when they are not just true and pure, but stimulate me to follow the Lord. Words give grace when they comfort me and my struggles as a Christian. Words give grace when they challenge me to put off sin and to pursue holiness. Words give grace when they teach me new things, wonderful things about who God is, who my God is. And that's a challenge to us all this morning. One reason it's going to be a challenge is because we're not especially used to talking like this. We find that for some reason we're not all that comfortable about speaking about God with one another openly. Perhaps you find it awkward, even though it should be the most natural thing in the world for us to do. And that needs to change. Let me set you a challenge this morning, after church, to have even just one conversation about God with someone today. We need to learn how to speak about God so that we can learn how to give words, words that give grace, words that benefit, words that build. Another reason this will be a challenge for us, not only in terms of, we can think not only in terms of the words that we ourselves speak and how they might give grace, but because to put this into practice requires a lot of listening. Many of us are better at speaking than listening. But you know the feeling. You're speaking with someone, or someone is speaking with you, and before they're finished speaking, what do? You find yourself. You're plotting your next move in the conversation, aren't you? You just hurry up and stop and let me say my important thing that I've planned, because my thing's better than your thing. Think about how we're going to tell our story. But when we begin speaking and learning how to speak with the intention of benefiting those who listen and to have words that themselves give grace, then what we immediately begin to find as we start speaking to other people within our church is that, you know, we're all different. Isn't that amazing? We're all different. As you begin to speak to one another, you'll find that we're all different. We're not the same. We have different needs. We struggle with different things. We need encouragement in different ways. And so if we as a church community are going to do as God calls us to speak helpfully to others, speak with words that benefit those who listen, we can't just take a little shortcut and go home and develop one conversation, our special trademark conversation that's going to give grace to those who listen. You can't do that because we're all different. We're all different. Now, to benefit one another, we need to know one another at a deeper level, not merely superficial, so that we can craft our conversations and choose our words carefully to build up not people in general, but to build up that one sister, that one brother, that young child, that particular person. What words do they need to hear as I speak to them today? And so, congregation, for these reasons and more, putting this part of God's word into practice is going to be a challenge for us. But friends, it's also a challenge that we can take up. Because God is at work in our lives. And God will give us the strength that we need, the grace that we need to put off this old set of clothes and put on this new set of clothes. God will give us the strength that we need to begin having new conversations, fresh conversations, grace-given conversations with others. Not just conversations and words that avoid unwholesomeness. Conversations that begin to lead us into maturity in Christ, that stimulate a growing in grace in our lives, not just remaining content to rest wherever we happen to be. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are members of one body. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Amen.